This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, Monday. What's up? Welcome in. Grant and Danny on the Fan. August 15th, 2022. Danny is still at the beach vacationing, but the power of radio will allow for him to join us this week on location. We're talking to Logan Paulson, who is a member of the TV crew for the preseason game the Commanders played against the Panthers on Saturday. We'll break the game down with him at 3. I want to talk to Billy Mbati, who covers college football, about what SMU is doing. Southern Methodist is going to be paying its football and male basketball players $36,000 a year, a salary essentially, based on a package of money they put together as a collective to pay out to all the players. First team to basically just offer everyone a salary who comes and plays for them. Pretty groundbreaking. So we'll talk to a guy who covers SMU about that at 5 o'clock tonight. Danny, how is the beach?
It's fantastic. Now, you guys didn't know this, and I've saved it here for the air. This is crazy that this all happened this way, okay? So we got down here, not this past Friday, but the Friday before. Been relaxing, unwinding, vacationing, et cetera. We were fortunate enough to get into the house a little bit early on that Friday, and we had a couple hours of prime beach time, so we headed on down to the ocean. And I just finished explaining to my kids, to my family, my extended family that we're here staying with, the running bit, the running discussion that you and I do, GP, about sharks and snakes. And we were laughing. We were laughing at the idea that sharks were scarier than snakes. Everyone had a grand old time. Got our sunscreen on. We hopped into the water. We hadn't been in the water for 30 seconds. And do you want to know what we saw? Absolutely nothing, because there's no danger from sharks and snakes are scarier. But still, it was a lot of fun to have those conversations. It's been perfect down here, my friend. Very relaxed, feeling very good. We're going to be critical of the team today. Hopefully the team president doesn't send any mean emails or tweets or anything like that. But yeah, we're going to have a grand old time. Happy to be back with you.
I told you this morning when we texted for the first time, because you went dark, as well you should, for your first week of your vacation.
Yes, indeed, yes.
And I didn't want to bug you or bother you. I didn't want to ruin your time. I knew you were reading your books and had your toes in the sand.
All
so
true.
I just kind of took a play off, as it was. But I hit you up this morning, and I said, I think we did okay without you for a week in terms of you not missing anything groundbreaking or massive. And then we realized, well, a coach got fired from the Commanders.
Yes!
And the team president did something that's never happened before, where he just went after a media member and basically called out his entire career in this, like, nefarious, mean, angry way.
Yeah, Jason Allen went after him. It was, unbelievable.
And what else happened? Let's see. The Wizards went back to their old jerseys.
Yeah, cool. Juan Soto came back.
Juan Soto returned. That was fun. Yeah. Joey Meneses has a new record, by the way, Danny.
The greatest living hitter? That guy?
Hits ever by a national in his first 10 games with 14 hits. Joey Meneses, baby. And the C.J. Abrams debut today. I'll put that onto the pile that you're going to be missing.
That counts. I'm excited about that, man. I guess he got acclimated to the Nationals organization, spent all of a week at Rochester. So he's all acclimated now. He's good to go. I'm excited to see him, though. Whatever, man. It'll be fun.
Doesn't make any sense. Speaking of which,
not to me.
From the not making any sense department, Cade Cavalli shoved this weekend.
Did he?
7 innings, 3 hits, 11 strikeouts. Uh-huh. Just so nasty. On the same day that I was at Nationals Park watching Anibal Sanchez.
Here we go.
Lower his ERA to 7.20 for the season. Cade Cavalli was lowering his earned run average over his last 30-plus innings to 1.4. So that's fine.
Time.
That's a lot. Right?
He needs some time. He needs some time, Grant. I don't see what you don't see.
And I love this. Like, everyone's like, don't call him up and lose any control. That's not a thing. You don't know what you're talking about. Stop saying that. We have waited long enough into the season. You will not lose a year of Kate Cavalli. It's control. They're a bad team. Just everyone saying that over and over again. It means nothing. So annoying. But anyway, here we are. So, Kate Cavalli, man, 25 starts in AAA. Can we get it to 30? Huh?
Let's get there.
A full big league season's worth of starts in AAA.
It shows durability. By the way, Anibal Sanchez is joining an exclusive crew as part of the national starting rotation. If he makes four more starts, which he's on pace to, because, again, he's 100, and Cade Cavalli should be in AAA all the time. If he gets the double-digit starts, it could be three guys that have made double-digit starts for the Nationals with ERAs over 7. That's neat, isn't it?
I think that has to be a first time ever. I mean, how could it not?
Corbin, just over a touchdown. Yoan Adone, 14 starts, ERA of 7.1. And Anibal Sanchez at 7.2. And now he's only through 6 starts, small sample, but he can get to 10. I believe in them.
All right, I want to talk preseason football with you. So I believe you watched the game while at the beach, yes?
Yes, indeed, sir, yes.
Good. So you are locked and loaded and ready to discuss preseason football. I have many, many thoughts. I wrote a lot of things down in the notebook. We could just go rapid fire here, and then we'll get to some game balls and some gassers. So I'll go, you go, we'll go back and forth here, boy-girl style. First things first. I was really excited to watch Sam Howell just because I hadn't seen him at practice yet, and I really liked what I saw. A lot is going to be made, and people are going to start talking about this as an NFL starter, and he should be the number 2 on the depth chart, and next thing you know, he should be competing with Carson Wentz, and all of that is just tomfoolery. I'm not playing those games. But I wanted to see what he looked like because, as we have talked about, he has arm strength. He can spin it. He can push the ball down the field. And he is athletic. He rushed for 100 yards 7 times last year at North Carolina. And that starter kit of being able to extend plays and to be an athlete and to be able to throw the ball a little bit is what works in this league. And so to see him chuck the ball downfield for a throw about 40 yards on a back shoulder that should have been caught, to see the 17-yard touchdown run where he makes a defender miss in the secondary. My favorite play was when he scrambled and kind of hit the circle button on his controller and spun out of some danger in the pocket and then reset for a nice catch and run by Alex Erickson. Like, there were a lot of good things from Sam Howell that I was really impressed by. And I view the preseason not as anything declarative or major in terms of evaluating, but I just kind of view it as a binary. Either you're going to feel better or worse, you know, about players, about things. Mm-hmm. And I feel a lot better about Sam Howell after seeing that inaugural debut from him, because he had some moxie. I was in the locker room talking to some of the players, and it's pretty clear they kind of like being around him in the huddle, and they think he's really confident. I will say he's smaller than I thought. And I was in the press box. It's not like I stood next to him until I was in the locker room. But even then, while he's thick, he's put together decently. I get the Baker Mayfield comps.
But yeah, he's stocky, yeah.
He just seems short to me when he's playing. And so I kind of get how he fell in the draft, but at the same time, he's one for one as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think it's well put. This is what he was at UNC, right? When they were good and they had weapons, including De'Ami Brown and Javonte Williams, the great running back out in Denver, I think is poised for a nice breakout in his own right, better offensive line, et cetera. He stood in the pocket, a lot of shotgun, and he slung it around a little bit. When they got worse, I was impressed with him. To your point, it was just this is what we need now. I'll run for 900 yards. Double-digit touchdowns. That's probably not what he's best at, but he kind of had to run around and make some plays as the team was depleted. So that's who he is to me. I mean, he profiles, as far as I'm concerned, as that kind of small sample backup quarterback, run around and make a couple plays, you know, maybe more guts than ability, a little bit more will over skill. You're right. He didn't look real big playing against, you know, those behemoths, or playing with those behemoths with the offensive line and the like, just trying to find windows to make some throws. But listen, with third team guys, you know, and somewhat fourth team guys, maybe practice squad type guys, that's anything that you could expect, everything you could expect from a rookie making his debut right there. So it's hard not to be impressed with him. But you're right in terms of the grand picture of the meaning. Nobody should be anointing him anything other than, oh, that's nice. He could probably play in this league in some capacity at some point.
It took Antonio Gibson no time to fumble. A matter of fact, it was his second carry of the preseason. He led the NFL in fumbles and fumbles lost last year. This was something that he worked on all offseason. He did two things, really. It seemed like this offseason that he really took seriously. He got into better shape, by all accounts. He lost a little bit of weight and had trimmed down, wanted to be more durable and maybe lighter on his feet to make some cuts. and he worked on ball security. And then on his second carry, he fumbled. What I found interesting was, having been at the game and then been in Ron Rivera's press conference right after the contest, Rivera was adamantly kind of discussing his frustration with Gibson. He didn't pull punches. Like, he was clearly visibly upset with him, but not about the fumble, I didn't think. No, the fumble to me was almost like it happened. Those types of things happen. He didn't say that, but that was my takeaway. He was angry with how he ran those first couple of carries. He talked about how he was dancing too much and he was too patient. And after that, he did a much better job just hitting the hole and lowering his shoulders and going. And he even at one point said, I'm talking so much about this because I want you guys to remind him of this. Meaning the media, which I found really interesting and weird.
Yeah.
But I rewatched the game, and that fumble came on a play where they had two pullers, and he kind of had to be patient, you know, like Le'Veon Bell style. You can't just lower your shoulder and run into their back in the backfield or run past them into the line before they're there to make their blocks. So I kind of didn't necessarily agree that on that play he did anything wrong in terms of his patience. After that, yeah, he did run hard, and there was no wasted movements, but I think he had four carries for 2 yards. He just ran as quickly as he could into a pile in front of him. And it seemed like Ron Rivera was happy about that, but I don't really know why, because I want vision and cutbacks that were there, by the way. There's a couple of videos that have gone viral today on social media of what he could have done for more yards. So it was not a particularly good performance for Antonio Gibson, compounded by the fact that Brian Robinson immediately came in, made a nice little cut for a 9-yard run, then caught a pass off balance, really nice hands catch for a 9-yard screen, and just looked like an NFL back, which I'll remind everyone, Gibson was a wide receiver in college, drafted out of Memphis. Brian Robinson was an excellent tailback at Alabama for a team that went to the national championship game that mauled and chewed up really good SEC defenses regularly. It's not crazy to say that Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson, when comped, is actually like a fair competition, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, I'm ready to say that Robinson should be in the lead in that competition. Who knows what it's going to be like as time progresses. And listen, you got to get acclimated to the NFL, learn the system, a million other things. And who knows how good he is in pass pro and the like. You'd assume coming from Alabama, he'd be pretty well schooled. He spent 5 years there. But I think you touched on it, GP. I mean, the run for Robinson that I care about the most, that well-blocked first carry was 9.5, 10 yards. I think they just kind of called it an even 10. I think a lot of guys in the NFL make that run, right? That was clean.
But there
was a good
shifty cut there.
Yes. Yeah, right? It's a good play.
At the line of scrimmage, whereas if you were a back that leaves yards on the field, you might just run right into the line of scrimmage and fall forward for 2 or 3. You're right. It was a big hole. It was a good block run. But I also thought you had to make a cut to get the most out of it, and he did.
Right. I don't mean to say that it was bad or anything, but I think Jarrett Patterson maybe makes that run. I think Williams makes that run. Jonathan Williams, rather, I don't know who Brian Williams is, the former MSNBC anchor.
I was going to say, isn't that guy interview people on TV?
Yeah, like he could have made that run. But I think a lot of backs in the league make that run. What was really impressive to me was what should have been a -1 or -2 that he turned into 3. Like, the play was blown up. I don't know who messed up. I'm not, you know, smart enough to know. I haven't broken down the film with Logan Paulson or whatever. I don't know. I do know that most running backs in this league are stuffed for nothing, and he just put his head down and kind of churned forward and got 2.5, 3 yards on what should have been a negative. Those are the kind of things that I get really excited about if you're going to employ this bruising style of tailback that they seem enamored with. I don't have any interest in that generally. I want scat backs who catch passes, get out in the open field and make people miss. I want an army of J.D. McKissicks. I want to do exactly what the Rams do. I want to do what Buffalo does. I want to do what Kansas City does. They don't. So if we're going to settle for the next best thing, Robinson's better at whatever they want right now, I think, than Gibson is. And I know this is a small sample that we're talking about, but it's a bigger one for Gibson for me, where I just feel like yards are left on the field and he also fumbles. What is it that you'd say you do here?
Yeah, so I'm super cognizant of not making too much out of preseason football. And in this case, specifically, not making too much out of very, very little, one game's worth of preseason football. And so when I say that Robinson, to me, is every bit as good as Gibson, I go back to last week. You were out, but my bold prediction on offense was that Robinson was going to lead them in rushing. And I didn't say that just kind of randomly as much as I think Gibson can be supplanted, either by way of his fumbles or ineffectiveness or even durability concerns, or he's been hurt a couple times in the last couple of years. There shouldn't be a massive gap between these guys. They were both drafted in the third round, and one of them had a great season at the best program in the best conference, and the other played another position in college and has made what is a quick but mostly average transition so far to running back. And I know that he ran for 1,000 yards last year, and my guess is because of that, the Martys and Ron Rivera would prefer to give him an opportunity to continue to be the starter. And they probably should, to be completely honest with you. My point is just that the leash at that position should never be long because you can always find running backs. I just believe that. Yep. And on top of that, I don't think the difference between them is substantial if Gibson is better. Personally, I don't even think that he is. But I believe Robinson's really, really good. And so it really has nothing to do with the preseason game. Everyone will say, how can you, after one game, after one fumble, move on? No. If you listen to our show regularly, this is not necessarily a pom-pom Antonio Gibson show. I think he's fine. He's replacement level. There's nothing wrong with him. But Robinson might have a chance to be a little bit better. So we'll see what happens at that position as we go forward. As far as Carson Wentz goes in his first game with the Commanders, it was fine. I mean, there was nothing there, I think, that you would come away from being disappointed by. I don't think there was anything similarly that you would come away and say, man, that was awesome. I will tell you that I was impressed by his pocket movement. I noticed on three plays particularly where he would kind of shift his shoulders and shoulder shuck a little bit and move around or climb the pocket to help a lineman, that I thought in that particular sample, whatever that was worth, like a quarter plus, he was really, really good at moving around in the pocket, and I thought that was cool to see. But overall, I was whelmed. I mean, it was an NFL quarterback in a preseason game who was pretty accurate on a lot of short, safe passes. It was Alex Smithian, kind of, to me. He was 10 of 13 for, I think, 74 yards or something like that. It was efficient, and they didn't really ask him to do a whole lot. But I will say, for all of the talk about his accuracy in practice and how much he struggled, that really didn't rear its head at all in the game.
So the thing I was impressed with was, and this is going to sound condescending, and I don't mean it to be at all, this is his third system. Although, you know, there's some cheating because he was played with Frank Reich before and had some familiarity there. But this is the third system in 3 years. And there weren't delays. It was a snap, get the call, get in and out of the huddle. Guys were lined up. There weren't any of those kind of pre-snap things of confusion. There was certainty in his presence getting in and out of the huddle and kind of getting into the offense. And they weren't going to show anything. I agree with your assessment, GP. I actually thought that just in the fact that it wasn't a disaster was pretty decent for me. I felt like, and I heard John Kimes say this morning with the Junkies, he looked more comfortable in those 10, 12, 13 passes than Ryan Fitzpatrick ever did. And we all know Fitzpatrick's academic background and the fact he's been in 2 trillion systems and went to Harvard, et cetera. Wentz's mastery and comfort early on, I thought, was pretty damned impressive. Even if we just saw, you know, kind of the same, you know, short passing, nothing really special, nothing really tested, you know, not really going to show a lot. Keep our cards close to the vest there. But I was impressed by that, honestly. That's something we take for granted. Not an easy thing to do after a short time, kind of getting used to what the coach expects.
After the game, Rivera came in to speak to the media at the podium, and he said that there were 2 things that infuriated him. Use that word, infuriated. I was pretty shocked. I'm going to tell you what they were next, and we want to get your thoughts on preseason game number 1 at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. What are your takeaways from that first preseason game? And do you have a game ball you'd like to give out or a gasser you'd like to make somebody take a lap? We'll give out some game balls and some gassers next. 245, C.J. Abrams debuts for the Nats today. We will get you ready for his first game in Washington, D.C. this hour right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Rookie out of Alabama, Brian Robinson, his first carry up the middle.
Here we go.
And Robinson picks up 11 at a Washington first down.
Kenny Albert on the call this weekend. Preseason football in D.C., a 200-plus day drought over. You woke up and you had a Commanders game to watch. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan at 2:45. We'll talk C.J. Abrams, who makes his debut for the Nationals tonight. Came over as one of the centerpieces in the Juan Soto deal from the San Diego Padres. 21-year-old shortstop of the future starts his Nationals era this evening. 3 o'clock, we'll talk to Logan Paulson. Coming up in 32 minutes, nobody better crunching the film than the longtime NFL tight end. He was on the sideline for the game. We will talk about that experience with him in about a half hour. Before we get to game balls and gassers, Danny, I was surprised by this. I kind of liked it, though. Ron Rivera, after the game, used the word infuriated about two things he thought were really poor for the guys that I guess mattered, in quotes, early in the game, the starters. He thought their kick return unit was terrible. They couldn't get to the 20, which he said was just inexcusable. Which, remember,
stole
now,
my gasser right there, by the way.
Really?
I was it's such a small thing, honestly. Like, you know, it's all going to be touchbacks, and you know, so if you don't have a dynamic one, whatever, it ended up being kind of like a non-starter, kind of insignificant factor during the course of the league. Or through the season, I was so irritated by their nubby kick returns.
So you weren't alone. I mean, Rivera was legitimately angry about this. And to the point where I was actually surprised. Like, to hear someone use the word infuriated after a preseason game, it was kind of whatever. But he was really upset. One of the kicks got brought out from like 9 yards deep, and you would have automatically started at the 25, and you got the ball at the 18. But he basically said you cannot be starting inside your own 20. And I would think now that you get the ball at the 25 if it goes into the end zone, and that's just a no-brainer for a coach. And then the other thing was the second down defense he was really angry with, because in his mind, I think they did a really good job on first down. So they had a bunch of second and longs where the Panthers correctly would then call, you know, quick, safe, short passes to pick up a few to get into third and more manageable. And he thought they did a really bad job defensively, because his point is when you get second and 10, that's got to turn into third and long. And his point was that too often it didn't. It was third and shorter, third and medium, and that's why they couldn't get off the field. Remember, they were the worst team last year, one of the worst teams in a long time, the last few years, at third down defense. And I think, just based on what he was saying on Saturday, my guess is he thinks their second down defense is what leads to their terrible third down problems. So those two areas specifically he accentuated right after the game as already having been something that he was harping on in the locker room. And it took him a little while to get to the podium, and it sounded like what he said, him and Jack Del Rio had just addressed those things already.
I buy it. So one of my notes, kind of takeaways from the game, was hard to be inspired by what the first team defense did. I mean, listen, we always do this. We're so desperate for morsels. We're so desperate for information that we tell ourselves, let's not overreact to the preseason. Let's not overreact. And then we spend an entire week overreacting. So I'm very guilty of it. I'm doing it. But it was hard to be inspired by the first team defense. They were fortunate that the first drive ended in a field goal. Carolina got whatever they wanted. That quick change of possession, it was a touchdown a couple moments later. They looked slow. They looked reactionary. They, you know, I understand you're not scheming it up. You're not sending the fanciest zone dog blitz or TE games or anything fancy up front. This, to me, is an opportunity for you're going to get one-on-one chances. Beat somebody. You know what I mean? It looked like they couldn't really impact an offense that I don't really expect to ring a lot of bells this year when it came to the Carolina Panthers. So, yeah, that's a takeaway of mine as well.
All right, let's go game balls and gassers here, Darius. We can open up the phones as well for you guys if you've got them at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. If you are new to the show, after every single Commanders game, we give out game balls to the top performers or moments, something you really liked, and then you get gassers that you give out for something you didn't like, decisions and or just bad outings for players. Gasser means you take a lap. Give me a game ball, though. We'll start it there. Sam Howell, it was not perfect. He was 9 of 16. He missed a couple things, honestly, that was pretty easy layup line stuff, including a screen behind the line of scrimmage where he threw the ball into the dirt with bad mechanics. Some of that's going to happen. But to throw for a buck 45, to overcome a couple early sacks when he came into the game, keep his eyes downfield, show some of that athleticism, had a 17-yard rushing touchdown, had a scramble play, two rushing touchdowns in the game. You really can't have a better preseason debut than that. And he took a big leap, Danny, toward becoming an August sensation. You know, that Colt Brennan, Chase Daniel level of he's the next great quarterback in D.C. Sam Howell, nice debut for him.
I'd like a game ball too, please, Darius. Brian Hansen, look the part, man. Again, listen, I'm not a huge fan of using, you know, top three round picks too often on running backs, and if I did, it'd have to be somebody pretty special, but he's here, so we don't necessarily complain about the acquisition now that it's happened. He's a better version to me of what they already have, and he showed very well in his first action. A couple of catches totaling 15 yards, 6 for 26, and a couple of those should have been negative plays that he turned into positive things. He ran hard. He was downhill. He looked the part of this bruising interior running back that this team seems so desperate to have. I thought Brian Robinson was good.
Curtis Samuel. He played in this game.
Yay!
I don't really know why, because he can't practice 2 or 3 days in a row, but this is all part of the plan, and I am giving them another chance at getting a plan with Curtis Samuel right this offseason. And look, he played in a preseason game, so I guess their plan is working to this point. He's 1 for 1 at dressing when they play games. And on top of that, he was involved. They targeted him twice very early on. He caught 2 passes for 14 yards. Nothing crazy, but I actually really, really liked the 8-yard gain he had on the opening drive on the little bubble screen they smoked out his way. And then he completed a first down shortly thereafter on a short little dump down where he got to the stick as well on a conversion from Carson Wentz. So to see Samuel on the field, big check mark, and then to actually see him involved with 2 targets and 2 catches, show a little bit of explosiveness, look like a guy who's healthy, that was a big deal for me. I got to give him a game ball.
I'll throw a game ball out there. Armani Rogers had to look up the name and number in the old roster there. But I remember when Carson Wentz was in Philadelphia, and they're like, he loves throwing a tight end so much. He loves it. I was like, yeah, I'd love it too if I had no receivers and Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert for a time. But I think of the first 5 targets that Carson Wentz unleashed, I think 4 of them were to tight ends. And I kind of thought, well, maybe this tight end and Carson Wentz thing might be a thing. But Rodgers certainly looked the part. The numbers aren't crazy. Only played a handful of snaps. But targeted 5 times, ended up with 3 catches early on there. It was a nice first introduction.
I've got one last game ball I will give out. I've always liked this guy. Jeremy Reeves had a sack on a blitz where I thought he disguised it really well. Going back and watching, he was like really communicative with the linebacker next to him on the second level of the defense. And it was pretty clear that he kind of set up what was a backup quarterback. I think it was P.J. Walker at the time, who probably just hasn't seen a lot of veterans in the secondary kind of making you think. And Jeremy Reeves just outsmarted him on the play, came on a delayed blitz, got home, got a sack for a loss of 8 yards. I think he should be on this team. I think he's really good on special teams. He could be the DeShazer Everett-type safety that you plug in occasionally on defense. His film has been really good when he has played. If he gets cut here because they've got some guys they've drafted and they don't like to cut their draft picks over the last couple of years, then I could see him latching on elsewhere based on his film from the last couple of seasons. But I like Reeves, and I thought he flashed on Saturday.
Gasser time. You know where I got to go? Antonio Gibson. I just don't see it. I mean, he got so many opportunities. That's how he ended up with all the yards. He leaves yards on the field. The fumbling problems are real. The thing that I thought I was getting, the idea of a converted wide receiver out of Memphis, was so intriguing, because you think, oh, open field, make people miss. You're going to see a lot of wiggle. You see a guy with great burst and speed and explosion, and he's going to be like, it's going to be like Tyreek Hill, but in the backfield form. He's just not that good at this stage. I'm lower on him than you are. That was a really disappointing debut in the preseason. To me, he's got an uphill climb to sort of hold on to that spot as good as Brian Robinson looked.
Yeah, I stop short of – I mean, I disagree if you're saying he's just not good. I mean, I don't see that. I think most running backs in the league are pretty good, to be honest. And I had Aaron Schatz on last week at some point. He's like, the reason running backs are all fairly replacement level, minus some stars, is – It's not that they're not good. It's that they are. And I kind of agree with that. Like, he's pretty skilled. The problem is he's just, you can find him. That there's 10 of them available at every single store, it seems like, that you're shopping for. And I think we agree that they need to get more out of that position. He was one of 7 running backs in the NFL last year. Obviously, they ran for 1,000 yards. Give me one quick gasser here, Darius. I don't think anyone has talked about this that I've heard, at least, because it just kind of happened early in the game and then we forgot about it. Joey Sly missed an extra point. Joey Sly missed some extra points last year before he came to Washington, which is one of the reasons why he was available. I don't know if it matters or not, but remember last year's kicking problems with Dustin Hopkins started with him just not being completely confident in the preseason, right? One extra point, and the first extra point ended up sailing wide and was not good. So just something to track in the weeks ahead,
monitor.
I would say, this preseason. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. Vic is in Akakik. What's up, Vic? How are you?
What's up, guys? So let me get right to it. Game ball goes to the defensive line and their D-line coach. I thought they played well. I thought they gelled together. I thought they played as a unit. They had a lot of millisecond pressures that almost were sacks. And just about every time you saw them, they were in the face of the quarterback. The gasser goes to Jack Del Rio, and you can give a half gasser to the defensive backs coach. One key play that really stuck out to me, obviously there was no redirection, no squeezing, just inside the hash, no squeezing between the nickel corner and the inside linebacker to take away quick slants, take away skinny posts, take away the seam route just above the safety and outside the linebacker. Jerron Mayo took a heck of a drop one play, and then nobody was there behind him. But Kendall Fuller stuck his nose in on the first touchdown, and there was no width on the backside. And he stuck his nose all the way into the box. And I'm like, what the heck are you looking at? And I said, there's a touchdown coming, because they're running across the field, and they're going to run where he left off from. It's just exactly what they did. And Kendall Fuller looked like he was on JV on a high school football team. The gasser goes to Jack Del Rio, because when you're worrying about dust ups, whether Republican or Democratic, it means nothing to me. I'm caring about football right now. And you want about dust ups instead of getting your coaches to make sure your defensive NFL defensive backs that make millions of dollars can do simple fundamental things.
Well, Vic, I mean, you're going to see that mistake made, I think, probably in the preseason by starters almost every weekend. And in the regular season, too. Like, that's not a perfect position, yeah? So DBs don't bat 1,000. It's not a job where you bat 1,000. If you're a surgeon, you need to have a really, really high batting average.
If you're a pilot.
Right. You're a pilot, you better land that plane every single time it takes off. But as an NFL corner, that's going to happen. And I don't know. Is that on Jack Del Rio? I mean, look, if it's a pattern, if it happens all the time, we've said in the past when they got bad communication, they give up a lot of big plays. Your secondary coach, your D coordinator, absolutely they got to be held accountable. Do you really think that Kendall Fuller didn't play that perfectly because Jack Del Rio made comments about January 6th? I doubt it. You know, maybe you actually feel that way. I don't. I think Kendall Fuller, right before that snap, was probably thinking about a lot of other things that weren't Jack Del Rio's comments. That's my guess. But well, I think understand that he's opened himself up to that criticism all year, Danny, where every time anything goes wrong with his defense, you know, if you're upset with what Jack Del Rio said, that's going to be a factor, I'm sure.
That was my point at the time, is that if your defense is so outstanding that it's above reproach, comment away on whatever the hell you feel like.
Right.
Tell me your thoughts on every international issue, you know, every nuance of the Constitution. I want to hear everything from you. When you're terrible, please don't do anything to distract from the fact that and by the way, your defense was inept, and you were the biggest disappointment of the sport this past year. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it invites that kind of criticism, I'm sure. And listen, to Vic's point, if there are persistent issues, because it just felt like a repeat of last year, regardless who was in the game, it was, no matter what the third down was, it just felt like it was going to be complete. There wasn't much that the secondary was going to do about it. So that certainly felt like a theme.
No, if something like that's happening all year, then it's, yeah, absolutely you start talking about coaching, and I'm perfectly willing to do that. I think there were times last year where that was problematic, and we've addressed it. But I would just also add that you don't game plan for that preseason opener, really. There's not a whole lot of watching film of the opponent collectively as a defense. You do that for the dress rehearsal, which with this new 3 preseason game schedule, I would guess, is this coming week against the Chiefs. So I'm more inclined to be upset with coaches for not coaching things up correctly when you're actually game planning for looks and plays and concepts, which I don't believe was the case this past week. 800-636-1067, you want to jump in on Grant and Danny. Plus next, C.J. Abrams Day at Nats Park. They are calling up their 21-year-old shortstop from the Padres. Came over in the Soto deal. He will be in the lineup tonight playing short. Looking forward to that. We'll get to it next on The Fan.
Welcome to the Major Leagues, C.J. Abrams.
That was opening day at Petco Park. That was the Padres television network. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. So C.J. Abrams came into the year ranked number 9 overall in baseball. On Baseball America's prospect list, MLB Pipeline's prospect list, number 11 according to Baseball Prospectus. I saw him play and met him at the 2021 Futures game last year. Really, really good athlete. I mean, this guy has a chance to be a special, toolsy energy provider for the Nationals. He's about 6'2". He's sub 200 pounds. He's blazingly fast. He was the 6th pick in the draft. And he came over as part of the Juan Soto deal to be their shortstop of the future. And despite having played in 46 games in the majors this year in San Diego, Danny, the Nats immediately sent him to AAA, just like they did with K-Bert Ruiz, to do what they call acclimating to the organization. And I will be honest, I don't really understand that, or I don't get it. I don't know what it means. Because you're acclimating in Rochester at the 3A level when they've basically, say at that time, they're calling him up to the major league soon where he's going to spend presumably the rest of his season and hopefully the rest of his career. But look, it hasn't been great offensively. He's hitting about 230. He's a below average offensive player with a 75 OPS plus, where the league average, you want to be around 100, through 125 at-bats. But he's barely played in the minors. He's got like 114 minor league games ever because he lost the 2020 season. He was drafted in the first round out of high school just 3 years ago. So he's a kid who flew through the minors. I'm really excited to just watch him day in and day out play for the Nationals.
You're going to see the speed. They do the 2080 scouting scale. You may be familiar with it when it comes to us grading food, but Major League Baseball has used this to figure out who can play and kind of where they would rank league-wide. He has 80 speed, according to a lot of people that do this for a living. It hasn't totally translated into, you know, those 100 steal seasons like guys like Tim Raines and Ricky Henderson have done, but the game has changed in that regard. You're more going to see it, him going first to third on a single, going, you know, the second to home on a line drive, one hopper to an outfielder. The guy can absolutely fly. The speed is what plays. And no, he's probably not a great major league hitter just yet, but it's unreasonable for us to expect that. Again, guys like Bryce Harper and Juan Soto that have come up have kind of ruined our timetable and eye line for a lot of normal folks. You're 100% right about what he was robbed of in terms of that 2020 season of development, but there's a lot of reason to be really excited about this kid. I don't know how much power he's ultimately going to have, and I ultimately don't know how much I care about that, to be honest with you. I want him on base wreaking havoc and just using that speed. I'm excited to see him, man.
I agree with you. I do think, though, from just to become a star in the middle infield, you have to hit for a requisite number of pop, right? There's got to be like 15, 18 home run power. He's not going to hit 30 home runs in the big leagues. I don't need him to. I don't even know if I need him to hit 20-plus. I mean, the ceiling, some people would say, is a Trey Turner kind of skill set. I think he's probably more 15 home runs and 30 steals than Turner, who's, you know, 25 home runs and 45 steals. But having said that, if you're playing plus shortstop, if you're running, if you're stealing bases, if you can hit for some average, as you said, get on base, like, those are the things I really care about. And he did show some pop in the minor leagues when he got sent down to AAA, where he had 14 extra base hits and 7 homers and had a slug of almost 500 this year. So we've seen it below the big leagues, and now you hope it comes around a little bit with the Nats. I would just say this. I would lower the expectations, at least initially, because this team is so bad, and this lineup right now is not good. And that makes it really, really hard for a young player to see pitches and to have a lot of success. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw that with the year Juan Soto was having, or really any of the guys in the lineup for that matter. There's not a lot of protection right now the rest of this season.
That's right.
So, I mean, if you do get hot, people start pitching around you, and you got to get extra selective. So there's a lot of reasons to assume he's not going to go on a tear the rest of the way. But to me, what I care about from now until the end of the year is seeing C.J. Abrams, seeing when Cade Cavalli gets promoted, God willing, hopefully seeing Josiah Gray and K-Bert Ruiz, and when Luis Garcia is off the injured list, who went to the IL with this Abrams corresponding move. Like, those are the things that matter. So today, to me, is one of the biggest games for the remainder of the season for the Nationals.
I guess, well put. I just want to see growth, and it's not always going to be linear, and it may take some time. I want to see bat to ball. I want to see him take some pitches, and I want to see him use that speed.
He's Danny Ruye. I'm Grant Paulson. You are listening to The Fan. Next, Logan Paulson's going to join us because we've got to ask him about the Commanders and the Panthers. We'll get a detailed breakdown. Who played well? Who's got some things to improve upon moving forward this preseason? You're listening to The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.